Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations, you can call 1-800-492-5538. There is a bank bill winding its way through Congress, and it is a very important bill for the future of this country and all of our futures, I think. And one of the things we don't realize here is that there are over 1,400 former legislators, according to the Center for Responsible Politics, and Hill staff, now at work for the banking lobby. The industry has 1,800 paid lobbyists in all, compared to about 60 modest, mostly volunteer lobbyists from several consumer labor groups, working most of their own time under the banner of the Americans for Financial Reform. And its executive director and also president and founding director of the Midwest Academy, Heather Booth, joins us for the next 20 minutes or so. And Heather Booth, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, Mark, great to be with you.
410-319-8888 is the number here to join this conversation. Because in all this, the very serious issues around what's happening in the Gulf and the oil spill and other things that we're facing, this bill is almost getting lost in the media.
Well, there are many people who think it's done, but in fact, the crisis isn't done. And in the next month, we have a chance to make what is a strong bill even stronger. But the people in your listening audience, everyone's got to get involved and call, protest, and engage our members of Congress and Senate and call for the strongest financial reform possible.
410-319-8888. You can join in this conversation with your thoughts and questions for Heather Booth while she is with us here, Executive Director of Americans for Financial Reform. Robert Kuttner had a really interesting piece in the Huffington Post.
Yes.
Where he kind of really delineated some of those issues. And you've been writing some really wonderful stuff on the Huffington Post as well about this. But let's kind of walk through some of the things this bill does and doesn't do and what people can really kind of still push on. We talk a lot about Senator Blanche Lincoln, who just won, and she wants to require that all these derivative trades be clear on public exchanges. But there are other parts of this bill that didn't make it in, like the one Senator Maria Cantwell wanted in, that make it even stronger. And that has a possibility of coming back, maybe.
Right. To sort of frame this from the beginning, first of all, just people should realize that we've got to have the strongest reform possible to deal with this crisis. We lost 8 million jobs. We lost, paid billions in bailouts, trillions in lost retirement savings, college savings. And so clearly we've got to rein in the big banks, hold them accountable. There are three big portions of the bill. There's an area around the Consumer Protection Agency for financial protection for mortgages and credit cards so that they're understandable. The big issue there is that we have to make sure that it's an independent agency, not controlled by the regulators who have been working in the interests of the biggest banks. And there we think the bill is strong. What's important is that we don't let it get carve-outs and loopholes for groups like auto dealers. And just imagine, auto dealers. I mean, it's the second largest purchase any family has next to your home. And why should there be a carve-out if often they make more money out of the financing of their automobile rather than do even from the sale of a car. We have to make sure that that's treated in an equal fashion, too. So that's the Consumer Protection Financial Protection Agency. We think it's strong, but we make sure that it doesn't become weakened and that it stays independent. Now, there's some things in consumer protection we'll still have to keep our fight on. There's still issues around usury, usurious rates, and payday lenders. We've got to make sure that so that's a part of a future fight as we move on. But keep this part strong.
Go ahead, Heather.
There's three big sections. If you want, Mark, just tell me. I can tell you the three big sections.
Yeah, then we'll come back and talk about each one of them a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. The second big section is what you were getting to, this casino economy. $600 trillion. It's more than the U.S. economy. It's unregulated. There are five big banks in the U.S., financial institutions that control 90% of it. And these are the swaps, the bets on bets on bets. They bet that how many homes will foreclose? Will the housing market go up? Will it go down? What will happen with Greece? And they're just bets. And there's a direction in the bill that's very strong, which is that all of that will, 90% of it will be moved onto exchanges like the stock exchange, so it wouldn't be secret. It would be transparent. And also that there'd have to be money behind those bets, And so they moved through clearinghouses. Just like if you went to Las Vegas and you placed a bet, you couldn't say, give me $100 of chips and then, but take it, you know, just believe me, I've got the money. See, they'd have to put up the money. Now, there's two areas where we are fighting very hard now to make it stronger. One is just what you were saying, this section of it that Senator Lincoln from Arkansas was promoting, and that's called Section 716, and the big banks are really gunning for that. This would say you have to spin off these swaps desks from commercial banking so that they wouldn't get the federal taxpayer guarantee that commercial banks get. And we think that why should there be any taxpayer potential bailout from these swaps desks? So that's a very important fight. There's a second very important fight, and that's what Maria Cantwell was fighting for. And that's there's a potential of loopholes in the bill that may have been unintended, but the language has to be tightened up. So we call it the Cantwell fix. We also think that needs to be included to make the bill really as strong as it should be. And then the third big area is to prevent future taxpayer bailouts of these largest institutions. And in part, we do that by separating the commercial banking from the proprietary trading, the trades that banks do on these bets with their own money. And the group that the rule that would affect that is the Volcker rule, many people have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
That would even be strengthened with a Merkley-Levin amendment that was proposed in the Senate, and we want to make sure that's included in the House. So that's another fight. We've really got to make sure that that language is included and is stronger.
And the important part here, I think that we're not paying attention to, because again, I think it's not being given a lot of coverage, and people just don't watch the news as they used to because it's so fragmented these days.
Right.
Is that there's still a possibility that this bill could be strengthened before it's over. We really are, in many ways, the citizens of this country, through groups like yours, are really battling one of the highest paid, most powerful lobbies in the history of this country.
Oh, Mark, you are so right. The opposition is spending $1.4 million a day to defeat reform. In fact, those were last year's figures. We actually think they're going to be more once the figures for this year come out. They've spent more than $1 million per member of Congress just on the lobbying expenditure, let alone the political expenditure.
Unbelievable.
So that we're up against a behemoth. What's interesting is generally money trumps people. However, in this case, because people are organizing, because there is a crisis, because there's been presidential leadership, and because also in the House and Senate, there's been strong leadership with a voice of people who are organizing, the bill has gotten stronger, and people are now trumping money.
Well, this we're going to take a short break, Heather, and come right back. So this is a good point to break on and come back and kind of really tackle what you're saying right here. We're joined by Heather Booth, Executive Director of Americans for Financial Reform, talking about the banking bill wanting its way through Congress now. This is a big week, the next couple of weeks of these votes coming up, and we want to talk to all of you about what this means. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. We'll come back to your calls in just a minute, but we have to take a very brief break and come back, go to traffic, and hear more from you. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're going to continue our conversation with Heather Booth, who is Executive Director of Americans for Financial Reform. But first, we've got to turn this over to WEAA Traffic, check on the roads, and come right back to our discussion. Stay with us. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are talking with Heather Booth, Executive Director of Americans for Financial Reform. She's also the President and Founding Director of the Midwest Academy that trains activists across this country. You can join us here at 410-319-8888 as we look at the issues facing us in this banking bill. Heather, we left off what was really an important place, I thought, because the idea that actually people's power is having an effect against this powerful, wealthy lobby is pretty astounding.
It's really remarkable, and people have come out and shown their power. in Chicago, there were 5,000 people who came out with National People's Action and PICO and the AFL-CIO and the service employees and other public interest and community organizations from around the country. And then there were almost 10,000 in New York on Wall Street, again protesting the big bank policies. And then in D.C., they closed down K Street, the street of all the lobbyists for the big banks, where you said there are 1,800 and more lobbyists for those big banks, and they closed down K Street. That kind of demonstration, both in public ways like that and also in home districts of congressional members and at senators' offices, writing in, lobbying, letting our voice known online, moving our money from the big banks into community banks and credit unions and saying, we've had enough of these big bank policies. So all of that is starting to be heard.
So let's talk about some of the things that may or may the battles taking place around this bill now, because it seems to me that there are a number of fights that the banking industry are going to make that are pretty strong at the moment to try to stop some of these things. They do not want to see this Consumer Protection Agency have the power that that some thought it would have in the beginning. And if you combine the Senate bill with the House bill, it might have that power. Talk a bit about that.
You know, it's interesting on consumer protection. The Chamber of Commerce went all out and basically said, we are going to kill this Consumer Financial Protection Agency. But it really does seem that people are outpowering the Chamber of Commerce right now. You know, they put up these fraudulent ads. Say the ad said, your neighborhood butcher won't be able to extend credit to you for 2 weeks when you want to buy some meat if they pass this law. And then we thought for a minute and said, first of all, who has a neighborhood butcher? And second of all, which butcher actually lent you credit for 2 weeks? And the real issue is that the bill won't address that at all. It's only if someone is primarily a financial institution, primarily lending money, primarily charging interest, and often involved in these unscrupulous practices. So the bill has actually gotten stronger, and the key issue here is that there are no carve-outs. We're talking about how there's an attempt to get carve-outs for the auto dealers, used car salesmen. And the second thing is to make sure that it really is independent of the regulators who previously were just interested in protecting the interests of the biggest banks. So this is still under attack, but we think it's actually a strong component, and we can win this if people call their members of Congress and say we want strong and independent consumer protection.
And the other part of this, you mentioned the Merkley-Levin Amendment. Because a lot of people wanted to see Glass-Steagall come back, and this is as close as we're going to get with this, and if it does happen, but this if that was brought back in, it would draw a clear line between the taxpayer-insured commercial banks and the financial firms who kind of gamble and trade derivatives. This is a hugely important. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
Well, you're very right that Glass-Steagall would have provided a strict division between all commercial banking and all of these risky bet banking. What Merkley-Levin does, and we're very much for it, is that it says that banks that want to bet with their own money, their proprietary trading, which is a lot of the place that these banks make their money these days, they can do that if they want, but it shouldn't be federally guaranteed with our taxpayer money. And if we do that, then we make the bank dealings much less risky, because then it's likely that these big financial institutions, Goldman Sachs and others, are less likely to get involved in those bets in the first place. The second thing that Merkley-Levin does is it works against the kind of conflict of interest that Goldman Sachs had and was subpoenaed for and is now under a civil investigation about of did it have a conflict of interest? Was it both telling people who wanted to invest the housing stock is going to go up at the same time that they were making bets the housing stock is going to go down and there'll be more foreclosures? And they didn't disclose to people that they were betting on both sides of that deal. So Merkley-Levin both separate some of the risky trading that these financial institutions would do with their own money from commercial banking, and also works against the conflict of interest that's inherent in these banks right now.
One of the things that people were talking about a lot was breaking up these big banks, but this is not going to happen in this bill. This is going to be – that'll be a battle for another day, it seems.
It is. There was an amendment to that Sherrod Brown in Ohio, a great champion, and Ted Kaufman in Delaware, another great champion, that they introduced that have actually would have limited the size of the biggest banks, and we thought that was an important step. Largely, it was blocked. It didn't come to the floor with largely Republican opposition in the Senate. And that will be a fight for another day. The fight will go on after this bill, though this is a strong first step. And hopefully a victory on this round will give people confidence to continue the fight on things like breaking up the biggest banks, on like foreclosure, or on usurious rates.
And so are you confident that you think that this this battle can be won in this one? I mean, it would be a kind of a change of pace if that actually happened.
It would be pretty stunning. What I'm confident in is that if people organize and if the voices of Main Street are heard, if people contact their senators and members of Congress, if their visible activities, if their demonstrations, if people continue to move their money, if we do everything we can do, I think we can build on this strong bill and make it even stronger. But it's certainly not over yet. You know, the president says that he wants to have it on his desk to sign by July 4th, a kind of an independence from this governing by the financial behemoths, an Independence Day. So we've got about a month to have an impact. And we really call on everyone in your listening area to get involved, call their members. One call does make a difference when one in 50 make 100 and even more. And we can turn around this financial industry.
Heather Booth, we will look forward to talking to you some more over the next month and bringing this out to our listeners. I want to let everybody know that they can go to our website, steinershow.org, and click on our link to Americans for Financial Reform and see the issues for yourself and stay on top of this. Heather Booth, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, and thanks a lot, Mark.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Folks, before we take a break here, I want to remind you that the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health are looking for researchers are conducting a study looking at how people use the Internet to find health information. If you or someone you know has ever used the Internet and is 35 years or older and healthy, you may qualify. Qualified participants will complete a one-time online computer exercise at the Hopkins Medical School campus. All participants will receive compensation for their time and effort. Call 443-287-4772. And please refer to the online health study when you do that. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite writers look behind the gritty facade of some of the city's tougher neighborhoods. What they find there may surprise you. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. Visit www.urbanitebaltimore.com for a list of pickup locations. And the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about Johns Hopkins at hopkinsmedicine.org. When we return, we are joined by Novella Carpenter, author of Farm City, a really fascinating conversation. She'll also be speaking at Enoch Pratt Library tonight at 7 p.m. as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.